She's touching me.
I'm not touching you.
Oh, you're touching me.
Not touching.
Touching me.
Welcome to A Spoonful of Podcast, where we dive into the magic of Disney destinations, searching for a great big beautiful tomorrow. Broadcasting from the backside of water.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 187 of A Spoonful of Podcast. I am your host, Evan Dickens, here with my co-host, Brian Galloway. Brian, how are you doing, sir?
I am doing great. I'm having a great time, and it's spring up here in the New Jersey area and up in the north, and it's, you know, everything's coming to life, and it's my favorite time of the year.
Yeah, this is, of course, endless summer here, but it's starting to get a little warmer, but the weather's still really nice in the mornings and the evenings. And that's the good thing about Florida. It still feels pretty good in the mornings and the evening, unless you're in the dead heat of the summer, right?
But exactly.
Nice. So, Brian, we're going to talk about Genie Plus. We've done some Genie. We actually did a Genie Plus episode before, but some changes and some app updates have happened. I know some different ride changes have happened since we did this, and I know not our overall viewpoints, but there's some points that we can discuss about this service that may be a little bit different. You know, just thought it was a good time for an update, right?
Yeah, no, we definitely need to do that. We need people ask, you know, common things that when we talk to some of our listeners or people that we know, they ask about, you know, what are the things that are confusing to people when they come to Disney? And you know, one of the things that we see as the thing that people are most confused about is, should I buy Genie Plus? What should I use? If I do buy it, what do I use it for? What's the individual lightning lanes? What should I do? And that comes up all the time. And people ask all the time, especially people that have never been there before. So I think it's a great time for us to do it because the last episode we did was great, but it's a little outdated now.
Yeah. And before we get into Genie Plus, Brian, I just want to talk a little bit about the theory behind this, because you had a great question you just posed. Should I buy Genie Plus? And this is a tough one. One that, you know, to wrestle with, that people I'm sure do wrestle with. Is it going to be worth it for me, etc.? So the past several times I've been to Disney over the last several weeks is I always, and I have a picture that I took of what the gate ticket price was to get in. And so Magic Kingdom, Epcot, and Hollywood Studios have all been hovering around that $175 to $179 a piece for the gate price. Animal Kingdom last time was like $153, so that was a little less. But, you know, you're looking at $179 for a park ticket. Now, I know when you know, Spoonies, if you go to Disney, maybe you're a once or twice a year kind of person, you don't have an annual pass, and you buy a package, we know that it gets cheaper the more days you add. So, you know, one day, you're not paying $179 per day. You put 5 days on there, and then that fourth and fifth day are pretty cheap. It used to be cheaper, but it still is cheaper. But the theory behind it is, if I'm spending $179 or this amount, do I want to spend an extra, sometimes up to mid $30 or almost, you know, high 30s per person in my party to get Genie Plus? That's kind of what we're going to look at, you know. And my thoughts so far is, if you're able to go often, frequently, you're an annual pass holder or et cetera, maybe it's not. If you haven't rode something in a long time that you want to ride, maybe it is. If it's a once a vacation a year kind of a thing, maybe it is. It's some stuff to wrestle with, especially, you know, it used to be, Brian, if you remember when it first came out, we were talking about this episode, it was around $15 a piece, right? But now it's date-based and price-based. So, Brian, what are your thoughts on that? Should you buy Genie Plus?
Yeah, well, okay. So I think there's a lot more to think about. I think one of the things that people need to know is, Yeah, exactly what you said. What do you want to do? And I think the way I like to look at it is we make a decision, we go to a park. What is the most important thing to do that day? You know, we're planners. Now, do we get the old spreadsheets out like we used to? No, we don't do it that to that level, but we do plan a little bit. We plan on what we want to do. And I've had those experiences recently where I was with people that hadn't been for a while, and we only had that one day, and we wanted to make sure that we would do certain, you know, get to be able to go do certain things. That's important. So what do you want to do? That's, you know, hey, what makes your day well? Good. Now, again, Evan did say, if you go very often, maybe you don't need to, you know. There are certain parks where I really don't find it to be very necessary. But again, if you want to maximize what you're doing, and here's the thought is this, you're spending whatever that is for the gate price, right? If it's 100 something or whatever it is, okay? If you're spending that money and you're not able to go on the rides that you want,
bingo,
you probably shouldn't spend the money. So you can't, I hate to say cheap out, but you're going to have to spend more than that if you want to be able to do what you want to do. And if you want to have a good day, you're going to have to do those kind of things. You're going to have to say, you know what? I really want to do Guardians. Okay, I got to spend a little bit more because that'll guarantee me to, you know, to be able to go in Guardians. And I've always said this, if you're standing in line and you're standing in this, you know, hour-long or two-hour-long line, and somebody walks up to you and says, hey, for $20 or $25, would you skip this line? I will tell you, in most cases, you're always going to say yes. So that's what you have to think about. Yeah, it's a lot of money. It's way too much money. I think it's crazy. But it's crazier to spend the money and not be able to go on what you want to go on. So that's the thing. Let's look at this a little bit deeper because I want to talk about how we plan and preparation, things like that. But you have to go into this knowing what you want to do. You can't say, oh, I'm on a really extreme budget. Well, okay, but just understand if you go on that extreme budget, you're going to either wait in line or you're not going to go on everything you want.
Correct. And, you know, before we get any deeper, Brian, let me just give a very quick info blip, just as like a glossary, define the terms really quick, right? So Disney Genie, replacement of the FastPass Plus system. We all know how awesome FastPass Plus was. We wish it was back, but at this time and point in time, you know, hey, we're done crying over it. We got to kind of face the music, which is, this is what's around right now. You can get Disney Genie. It's included in the My Disney Experience app. It's not a separate app you have to do. The Disney Genie feature is free. There's recommendations to plan your park day around. There's different ride wait times and restaurant reservations inside the Genie. Now, where you get into the paid options is Genie Plus. Genie Plus allows you to access what used to be the FastPass Plus lanes, but they're now called Lightning Lanes. You can select up to one ride at a time of Lightning Lanes when you purchase Genie Plus. And then the last term, or two terms to kind of look at, one is individual Lightning Lane. There are certain rides at parks, which is Magic Kingdom, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Tron, Epcot, Guardians of the Galaxy, Animal Kingdom, Flight of Passage, and Hollywood Studios, Rise of the Resistance. Those are the individual Lightning Lanes you can purchase. You do not have to purchase Genie Plus to purchase these, and they are not included in Genie Plus when you purchase that price for the day. The last term is Virtual Queue. Currently, Tron and Guardians of the Galaxy are the only two rides or attractions that have Virtual Queue. And, you know, we're not going to do the whole episode where we go into like, hey, this is what you press on your phone to get there, anything like that. But I thought it was good to give a quick overview of the terms, right?
Because people get mixed up. It's mixed up because, okay, here's the quick synopsis. The regular Genie that you get for free is kind of a waste. Yeah. It's not, that's not much there. Okay. So I'm sorry. They made a big fuss about that when it first came out. No.
Yeah.
Okay. Genie Plus is important. And we'll talk about that at certain parks and for certain reasons. Individual Lightning Lane to me is another interesting one. Again, I don't mix up Lightning Lane with individual Lightning Lane. I don't know why they did that. That's just make it more confusing to everybody. Okay, great. But individual Lightning Lane to me is the one that I would look at more because it's not as expensive as getting Genie Plus, but you're pretty much guaranteed to what you want to get what you want. So we'll talk about that as we go through the parks and maybe go, you know, what should be done. But I'm telling you right now, individual lightning lane is the way to go. It's just a matter of making those right choices. And again, I wish so. Remy's is not on anymore right now. It's not virtual queue anymore, and it's not on individual lightning lane yet. Or is it going to be? That's the thing. As I thought, for some reason, I thought by now it was going to be, but it's not.
Nope, it is just a part of Genie Plus.
Okay.
Yep. So, you know, and it gets confusing, like, you know, that instance, because they do swap rides around a lot, you know, individual lightning lanes versus lightning lanes of Genie Plus. Essentially, if you buy Genie Plus, all attractions outside of those several attractions I just mentioned at the different parks for individual lightning lanes are included in your Genie Plus service. You make your first one at 7 a.m., and then you can make your next one 2 hours after that, after park opens, actually. So for an example, book your first one at 7 a.m. Hollywood Studios opens at 9 a.m. You can book your next one at 11. And then you can do it every 2 hours throughout the day or once you use that first one. It's very confusing, I understand. But that is essentially the system. And like Brian said, some parks it's better than others. But individual lightning lanes are your key if you want to hit the big attractions at the parks. And that's why Disney is doing it, is so you can hit the big attractions.
Well, you don't want to, again, I've had this experience and we've talked about this. You don't, if you have one day to go to Hollywood Studios and you don't get Rise because you want to go on Rise, the only way to guarantee you're going to get Rise, unless it breaks down, obviously, but is to do an individual lightning lane.
Right.
It guarantees you to at least get on the ride as long as it's working. And that, to me, makes or breaks your trip sometimes because you want to go on a certain ride. There's nothing – you don't want to go to your family and say, hey, guys, guess what? You know, we got Genie Plus. I spent all the money, but, you know, I wasn't quick enough and there's nothing left and we can't go on that ride.
Yep.
I don't – you just don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. So you have to – you know, the price to go to Disney is a lot more, you know, obviously. And it's an interesting – this is another whole interesting thing because I feel – you know, dining used to be super important, and it really is. I think for the people that come there for a long time, getting a good meal is really important because it's part of the experience. But because of the fact that Disney has nickel and dimed us with all this stuff, I feel the trend is going to be that people are not going to be doing as many of these sit-down dinners anymore because the money that they spent on those dinners is going to go towards Genie Plus and individual lightning lanes. So I don't think your whole trip budget is going to change that much. I just think that the way you approach things might be a little bit different.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a, you have to kind of see what's coming and you have to look at wait times too.
Yeah.
Right?
So let's break it down into different sections. Let's first look at the virtual queues. Let's just talk about virtual queues, what we should do. I also want to talk about a day in the life of a, actually let's do it. Let's start out that way. And I think here we are, we're changing on the fly. You're waking up in the morning on any given day. What are your things to do? And then once we get into that, let's go there. So again, I'll start off here. You have to buy, if you're going to get Genie Plus, you have to make a decision and buy it by 7 a.m., right? Isn't that the time?
You can purchase it anytime after midnight
on the day you want to do it.
And you can purchase it all day long. So it doesn't have to be purchased by 7.
Yeah, okay. But you want to kind of do it by 7 to be able to take advantage of it.
Make your first one.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So you have to decide, okay, should I get Genie Plus or not? Look at the park. We can talk about the different parks and which ones we'll talk about the ones that deserve them or not. But you have to get up in the morning, you know, and get that. So get your Genie Plus first. I would say, and again, we're going to talk in a day in the life here. Get up at 6:30 and go find the spot that has the best internet and the best Wi-Fi signal. And Evan has talked about this before, but you're better at,
yeah,
at that. So, talk about what you do to find the best signal.
So it's best if you have two phones or you have your wife's phone or something like that. On one of your devices, you should go to speedtest.net and you should check it on your cellular and check it on Disney Wi-Fi. See which one's better. Look at your room, go around your room a couple of different places, and then maybe step outside your room and go to it. But on one phone, you want to check where the best signal is. And then you want to go ahead and prep the app. So when you go to the virtual queue section of the app, you can choose which park, which right now is only Magic Kingdom, Tron, or Epcot Guardians. You choose that. You can pre-select your party. And then as soon as it turns 7 a.m., you can hit join virtual queue. On your other device, you can pull up the world clock. And the world clock, which will show seconds of your time zone, which is Eastern Standard Time, it's going to count down. And as soon as it's 6:59:59, then as soon as it hits that, you're going to hit join virtual queue as soon as it's 7. And I am still at a 100% success rate for virtual queues.
Yeah, and a lot of people, so the common thing I hear is, I was on my phone at 7 o'clock, and I tried, and nothing was available. And the thing is, it's 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock's too late. It's 6:59:59. And it's sad, but we have said this so many times. We must have said this on 8 or 9 different episodes. You have to be prepared. That 1 second, it shouldn't matter that much, but it does. It matters a lot because whether or not you're going to get in the queue. You think about this. You have 50,000 people all doing it at the exact same second. You need to get on there that way. Now, the one good thing about virtual queue is you can go do it again at 1 o'clock. But right. The same rule is in effect, 12:59:59, you better do it or you might miss that one too.
Yeah, and you better find a good spot in the park too. Again, use the speedtest.net. Try to find you a good spot.
I have found that the lobbies of the deluxe resorts, because yeah, I'm bougie. I mostly stay at the deluxe. But the lobbies of the deluxe resorts have the best, Wi-Fi signals. They definitely do. You can, obviously different parts of them, but they really do. They seem to Riviera. I mean, big time difference from my room to the lobby. Boardwalk, extremely gigantic difference from the Wilderness Lodge. Not that much of a difference, but it's actually enough that it's worth doing. So I would say if you can get up and you're in a deluxe, go to the lobby. Again, you're trying to minimize your risk. It's like our risk episode. Minimize your risk of ruining your day. You know, get this stuff taken care of. So I would say find that spot. You have time to do it. You could do it the day before. You know, obviously those spots are not going to change. Prepare. That little bit of 5 minutes of preparation will go a long way with shaping your day. And again, folks, we don't agree with this whole philosophy. I don't think I've said this many times. I hate the fact that your day and your trip is dictated by getting up early in the morning and trying to log into a system. It makes no sense to me. And that's something I don't think Walt Disney would ever have wanted to do. But that's right. What we have to live with right now. So again, to deal with this, you have to be able to do that.
Yeah. And let me give one more tip as well. So for Epcot and Magic Kingdom, there is a third virtual queue that will open. And this is for times when there are extended evening hours. Now, this could be for several reasons. It could be because there's a Halloween party or Christmas party. It could be because there's an after hours event, or it could be because certain resorts during certain promos or time frames. I'm trying to make this as non-date specific as possible. But right now, you know, if you're a deluxe resort guest, you may get an extra hour or so at the end of your day, etc. If there's extended evening hours for any of those reasons or other reasons that Disney will open, then they will open a third virtual queue at 6 p.m. and you can join that one. And oftentimes that one is very easy to join. But Brian, I was in Magic Kingdom just Saturday, and the 1 p.m. virtual queue was still open at like 1:40. So if you don't make the 7, you're very likely to make the 1 p.m. if you're planning an all-day park day.
Yeah, you should, but you got to be prepared. And I like that. I think another important thing when you're planning, folks, is make that decision. You should know what rides you want to look for, right? Because what are your rides that make or break your day, right? You know your party. There might be different rides for different people. And you're like, you know, my daughter might want one thing and I want to want another thing. And my wife wants a different thing. And you want to make sure you hit them all, right? This is what I was told from a person who works in one of the resorts. First thing to do, your individual lightning lane, get that done. Again, this is all done split seconds, guys. Get in, boom, do it. Next thing you do, pick your first Genie Plus thing. Pick that right away. Boom, pick that. Now go get your first individual Lightning Lane, because the chances are that's not going to be sold out yet, because that's an extra fee. Go do that. So then at that point, you have three things in play by like 7:02 in the morning. You'll have your Lightning Lane,
your
Genie Plus, your virtual queue. I'm sorry, your Genie Plus and your individual Lightning Lane. And that'll help you. And then you go back. The next thing you do is that, you know, the 2 hours after the park opens, you get your next one. But you got to set your clock, set some alarm on your phone, remind yourself, because that next one is, again, an important one. You want to get that one done. And then at 1 o'clock, like Evan said, you set it again, because you know, if you didn't get that virtual queue the first time, then you can get it again.
Right. That, and here's another example. And this isn't like every park, but here's what we've noticed with, and there's certain times where trends, and this is the huge, and I hardly ever plug myself, but this is a huge importance of getting a travel advisor. We know a ton of really good travel advisors. I'm a travel advisor. You can always reach out to us though for free questions or tips on stuff like this, because we do follow these trends and the trends change often. There has been an insane amount of demand for Slinky Dog Dash at Hollywood Studios. So this may break some of the mold, but this does fit into what Brian just said. Virtual queue first, Genie Plus second, individual Lightning Lane third. This fits perfectly for Hollywood Studios. At 7 a.m., do not buy Rise of the Resistance first. Book Slinky Dog Dash as your first.
Yeah, exactly.
Genie Plus, because it's running out, y'all. I mean, it really is. And so you would do Genie Plus, Slinky Dog Dash, then go buy your Rise of the Resistance if you want it. Another example we had with when my mom was in town was for Hollywood Studios. We bought Genie Plus, and of course, my favorite ride in all of Walt Disney World is still Rise of the Resistance. So I wanted my mom to experience my favorite ride, and I wanted to make sure that we rode that ride that day. So how do you make sure you ride a ride? You buy the individual Lightning Lane, right? So that's what we did. And it worked out great. You know, we had Genie Plus, and I purchased the individual Lightning Lane. Now, what we did for that day, since we were a party of four, I just bought it for me and my mom, and Emily and Ezra just sat out. They set that one out so my mom and I could go and ride the ride. But you have to think strategically about this system. Right. It's not as easy or as cut and dry as the old Fast Pass Plus. Book three at a time. Then you could book your rolling one all day long. You can't really do that now. You have to think about how to do it, because, you know, Brian, technology is ever so changing and being more added, as much as we don't like it, into different layers and the different aspects of our plans for the day.
Well, in January, yeah, and the Slinky Dog Dash one is something that I know the person that I was talking to at the Riviera, he did tell me that morning. He said, do that, because if you're going to buy individual Lightning Lane with Rise, then you definitely should do Slinky Dog first. And the thing was, that day at Hollywood Studios, we had the perfect day because everything worked. We had Genie Plus, we had individual Lightning Lanes, we got everything we needed that day. And the all day long, I kept on updating it because I had a party of five with us, and I wanted to make sure they had a good trip. And I knew what they wanted, right? I knew the things that they were looking for. So during the day, what I would just keep doing, I would update it every 2 hours. And then in between, we either waited in line or did other things, and we got everything we needed. It was almost like the perfect storm. And, you know, I think, you know, my sisters looked, they were like, hey, this should be like this every day. No, it doesn't work like that. You don't have a perfect storm all the time, because we had a problem the very next day with Epcot. There was problems with the whole system. So it does happen that way. So, but once in a while, you're going to get that perfect storm. But the only way you're going to get that is by planning and doing it the right way. And we're not trying to be, you know, we're not trying to say, hey guys, you got to do it a certain way, but you really got to plan. And if you don't plan, you know, we don't want, you shouldn't have to plan this much on your vacation. You should be able to relax and enjoy the parks. And you can't do that, though, if you have only a certain amount of time and a certain limited experience time at a park. You can't do it. If you're coming every week or every month, it doesn't matter. You could do some things one day. But if you have one trip a year, you got to plan better. And it's hard. I don't like it, but I've gotten really good at it too. And I'm actually, I have a very, very, very high percentage of getting what I want.
So here's another frequently asked question. What does it mean to stack Lightning Lane or reservations through Genie Plus? So this is a common question, and this is beneficial for those of us who maybe want to arrive at a park of our choice later in the day. So here's an example. Say you want to go to Magic Kingdom, and it's the time of year like right now where Magic Kingdom is open 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. You can make your first Genie Plus Lightning Lane reservation at 7 a.m. Then, remember, it's 2 hours after park open. So then it would be 11 a.m., then 1 p.m., then 3 p.m., etc. So say you're getting up and you're at the Poly or you're at your deluxe resort or whatever, and you want to have a pool day, but you want to hit up Magic Kingdom in the afternoon or late afternoon, 3-4 o'clock, something like that. You can go ahead and book and purchase Genie Plus before 7 a.m. Make your first Lightning Lane reservation at 7 a.m. That's one. 11 a.m. two. 1 p.m. That's your third one. And then 3 p.m. is your fourth one. And then you can roll into Magic Kingdom with 4 Lightning Lanes that are waiting for you to go and redeem.
Yep.
So say you booked Peter Pan's Flight, Small World, Haunted Mansion, and Pirates of the Caribbean. And you have all of those stacking at 3:30 to 4:30, 5:30 to 6:30, 6:30 to 7:30, 7:30 to 8:30. You can go hit all 4 of those and then immediately book your next one. So Genie Plus is good for like a Magic Kingdom day like that. That's a good option you could do. You can relax all day and say you and your family are going to go hit up the parks and you want to have an amazing evening and go ride a bunch of stuff and just skip the lines. Stacking Lightning Lanes is a great way to have fun in your day, but you don't have to feel like you have to be at the park all day long. So I think that's a good time to buy Genie Plus, Brian. And when you have a good park, you want to have a good rest day, but you want to also really just barnstorming at night, because we know nights at Disney parks are fun. You want to hit a bunch of stuff, right? So that's a good way to do it.
Yes. And another thing, we can even double stack that, because on top of that, at night in most Disney parks, you're going to find many, many, many attractions drop down in their wait times, because a lot of the young kids go home, the parents take their kids back, or they're eating dinner, or they're waiting, getting ready for fireworks or some kind of a late night show. And so if for some reason you're not getting the ride that you wanted, like, and again, for that one day when I said we had the perfect storm, Tower of Terror, we could not get, you know, it was just never. And then all of a sudden, you know, at whatever, you know, half an hour before close time, the wait was 7 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever. So yeah, we went right over there and got on. So you look at that. So if you plan all you can, if you're not getting what you want, don't give up, because near the end of the day, and Evan and I will tell you, in Epcot, if you go like an hour before closing, most of the rides are going to be 5 to 10 minutes, right? I mean, pretty much everyone, except for Test Track, was 20, but recently, but even 20 is not bad. But most of the rides in Epcot in the last hour and a half, you could probably do every ride in that one area, and yep, they're all going to be 5 minutes.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, it's getting to be almost, Brian, where I know we were going to talk about this at some point, but it's kind of just flowing like this. I think Magic Kingdom is a great Genie Plus park, and I think that Hollywood Studios is a pretty good Genie Plus park.
Yes.
And I just don't know if Animal Kingdom or Epcot is anymore. I mean, Epcot would be if you want Frozen and Remy at their must-dos, but if you're kind of about those two, like you just said, Brian, Soarin', Living with the Land, Figment, The Seas with Nemo, Spaceship Earth, Mission Space, and sometimes even Test Track, and I maybe even missed one, Living with the Land, those are all...
And Turtle Talk, they're all Turtle Talk, yeah.
Yeah, they're all really low wait times towards the end of the evening, or even at different times of the day, you know?
And the Three Caballeros is like walk on at that point. There's never a way. You just get there and there's like no one in line, just jump on.
Well, it's kind of difficult to figure out how to get in that place.
Sometimes. Yeah, I know, you have to be careful. It's hard to get in and it's very difficult. That's another whole episode. But you can do that. So yeah, my recommendation is Hollywood Studios, definitely. Magic Kingdom, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, strategically a little bit different, both of them. And you have to, again, you still got to be very careful about what you're doing. there's way more options in Magic Kingdom. We all know there's so many different things that people like. Now, I'm not going to say that, you know, are there that many difference in thrill rides, but there's more rides that are nostalgic that people want to go on in Magic Kingdom. So if you really want to make sure that you get on the certain ones, like Peter Pan, for example, or there's certain ones like that that you might have to plan. And if you don't plan, you're not going to get. But you could make it work in both parks and get to and all the things you want as long as you plan. Epcot, I don't think you need to. If it messes up, maybe Guardians would be the only, Remy and Guardians are the only two that maybe you would have a hard time with. But in those cases there, you might be able to get on. Animal Kingdom, I wouldn't, because end of the day, Everest is empty. The Jungle Trek, you might want to book, but I don't even know there. You could probably, the wait's never, different parts of Safari. I'm sorry. It's not that bad. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Nothing there is going to be that crazy. Now, Flight of Passage.
I would buy the individual Lightning Lane.
I would buy the ILL. Yeah, I would buy that. But you might not need Genie there.
Yep. I totally agree. And we'll have some more episodes, Spoonies, coming out soon that will update how we tour the parks or tips and tricks, because there's a strategy for all of these parks that we like or that we suggest to people as these, you know, are like that. So, yeah, that's what else, Brian, that you want to go into with this?
Well, I think, you know, people are going to say, like, how do I plan for this? Now, and again, I kind of touched at this, but I don't think, you know, when people go, they come back and they say, hey, Disney is raising their prices. It's too expensive for me to go to the parks. 100%. It is. We're not going to debate that. But your budget for your trip is not, you know, and I'll tell you right now, when we used to go, let's say we would go 10 days, four of us, I would budget a certain amount of money for the tickets, for the food, and I'll let's say $4,000, $5,000. I don't know what I would budget, whatever money, the souvenirs, everything combined, right? One budget, that's it. We stick to it. I don't think that number's changing. I just think what we do is changing, because we're not going to do as many sit-down dinners. We might not do the expensive dinners. And we're definitely, it's 100% we're eating breakfast in the room because of the fact that it costs so much to go just to get into the parks and then go on the rides, right? But the overall budget, my overall trip budget is not changing that much. I don't think it's changing at all. It's just, we're not going to do as much. So the experience has changed. And now we like the sit-down dinners. I don't mind going to sit-down dinners. I don't mind spending the money, because it's a good thing for my family to experience that. But we might not be able to do that now all the time.
My last kind of, you know, theory thinking into this, and we've said this so many times in this episode, and we say it all the time when we're talking about planning for the parks. What do I want to accomplish in this day? And how do you travel? How do you tour? What kind of vacation to Disney are you wanting to have? Okay, there's the person, there's the leisure guest who, you know, my vacation to Disney World, I want to go and relax at a deluxe resort, have several pool days. I want to eat really good food. And of course, I want to go to the parks. That's why I'm going to this area. But I get done what I get done, you know? Okay, if that's how you tour, then don't buy a Genie Plus. Don't buy an individual Lightning Lane. And feel free to join a virtual queue. But if a virtual queue is going to happen in the morning, like at 7 a.m., and you're group 1 through 10, you may not be out of the bed yet. So you have to think about that, right? Maybe you'll be the person at 1 p.m. that shows up at the park to get a virtual queue if you really want to hit it. But at the end of the day, it may just be lackadaisical for you. I just don't really care. I get done what I get done. So then Genie Plus, again, would not be for you. But the other kind of person, I want to, you know, open to close, get as many rides or attractions in as I possibly can. Then, you know, you may be looking at doing Genie Plus. You're maybe even going to look at buying a dessert party for the fireworks, right? Because you really want to see it all, everything that the park has to offer. So you have to ask yourself as a family, what are my kids like? What are my kids' favorite shows on Disney Plus right now? And then you go from there. Okay, what would be their must-dos because of their favorite shows and what they've liked or what they've grown up with? What are some of the things my parents or my siblings or whoever's going with you would really want to do? Know them, and that's called qualifying your party. And so all these questions, Brian, is what you have to think about when you're going into it. It cannot be a last minute decision. People who make last minute decision Disney trips always, that is a guarantee, they have a really bad time because they're not thinking this through and they're not asking these thoughtful questions about their vacations.
Here, I look at it this way. You have, let's say you have a family of four coming for 7 days. Okay, let's do 7 days. I like to do more 10 because you'll relax more, but 7 days. Okay, you're going to go 7 days. So basically how you get to the parks and your hotel room, I'm not even including that. Okay, what I'm including is your parks and your food for 5 days and souvenirs. 7 days. I'm sorry, 7 days. Four people, 7 days, four adults. You got to figure $500 a day. I mean, if you're not figuring $500 a day, I don't know how you get by.
Yep.
So that's $3,500 without anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a problem. And, you have to figure out, I just spent all that money. Do I want to make sure that I'm getting the most out of that? Now, what I would probably say is 7 days, maybe you don't need to go to the park every day. And maybe you have, one or two pool days, the only four park days, then you could buy Genie Plus and make those days really, really, really good by getting on everything. Or you want to risk it and try to go more park days, not spend the money on Genie Plus, and try to maybe hopefully get on the rides you want. I don't know. I don't know what's good, better or worse, but you got to plan that. My suggestion would always be to go reduce risk and spend the extra money and make sure you get to go do what you want to do. The only other thing I want to say, Evan, is on a trip, you also got to look at the weather, because I know we've talked about, you can go to any Disney park and, they handle rain. Rain is works very well, and you could do that. But if you have that option, I would look at planning your week that way too, even with your Genie Plus. What if you buy all, why do you buy all, Genie Plus and your individual lightning lanes, and it's like a monsoon, and you kind of wasted extra money? That's another thing to look at. And I haven't had to experience that yet, where I've had to make a decision on purchasing something like that based on weather. But I've heard other people have that problem where they've actually purchased individual lightning lanes and it was so bad that day that everybody in their party wanted to go home. And they were out that money. So that's another thing too. It's Florida, right? It rains.
Yeah.
It happens. Yeah. You got to be able to plan that too.
But, whatever you want to close after this, Brian, but my closing kind of thoughts on this is, looking in your situation and my little semi-monologue I just said there, but you really do have to ask yourself these questions. And if you are a person who is an incredible planner, but you've never been to Walt Disney World, but you do spreadsheets, you plan it, and you think you have researched it backwards and forwards, I guarantee you that you will not have as good of a time as you would have if you spoke to someone with experience and who has been there before. There's a quote by Albert Einstein that says, "The only source of knowledge is experience." And I thought that's a powerful quote, because you may can research it all day long, but until you've been there and walked there, it's hard to just get it all together, right? So that's why I like listening to podcasts like ours or others, or having a travel advisor or somebody, or reaching out and getting advice from people really who have been there is really helpful, because your family does things differently than some other families, or maybe it's the same way. So I think it's just, when you're asking, do I do Genie Plus? It's going to be, it could be $30 extra per person per day. And if you're a family of five, that's expensive, right? So you just need to ask, your family questions. You need to see what are the must-dos. So that's kind of my final thoughts on this,
Yeah, no, it's planning. And this is another interesting thing too, folks. I see a lot of, Evan and I are both part of a lot of Facebook groups. We have a Spoonie Nation Facebook group, right, where we try to make sure that if people are giving you advice, that it's good. And I do say we do monitor that. So you come and ask advice. We have some great people on there that can do that. We have another group that we're part of called Happily Ever Disney that I also feel that you can go in there and ask them questions.
Yep.
And you're going to get good advice. But there are many, many Facebook groups that you go and ask advice. And I just shake my head sometimes about the advice that people give. You have to always be careful who you listen to. So listen to somebody you trust. Listen to somebody that's done it before. Go to a travel advisor if you can, because they don't cost you anything and they'll help you a lot. That's important. You know, come to Evan and I. We will always help people. We love to help people. Actually, that's, you know, I enjoy helping people out about these things. But you got to be able to do that. You can't be stubborn and saying, I don't need to plan. I've got, you know, I go to Jamaica every year and I don't need to plan. No, it's not the same thing. Yeah. You're spending a lot of money and you want to use your money wisely. So that's super important. You got to do that. You can't cheap out on these things, because if you're coming for a long time, you're coming for a short trip, different whole story, different persona. We in the IT world, we design systems based on personas, the type of person, what they do, what the user does. There are different types of personas throughout Disney, the way people tour, the way people go to the parks, the experience versus non-experience. If you're a new person or a person that doesn't come that often, but you're saving all year for this thing, you got to make sure that money's worthwhile. You don't want to waste your money on stupid things. You want to make sure that you're going to get the best experience for your family that you want. You got to plan a little bit. And people don't want to do that sometimes. It baffles me. I saw somebody recently on one of them. I'm not going to talk about which group, but I saw a group and somebody said something like, me and my husband and my two kids, we're going for 8 days and our budget's $1,000. Do you think we're going to make it? Is that enough? That's not going to be enough. And I'm not even joking. And then I, of course, was like, no, you got to plan. You got to save some money. There's got to be more there. You're not going to have a great time. And then another person comes on and says, oh, you can make it with $1,000. You make some, pack some peanut butter sandwiches and you drink the water that they have, the sulfur water that they have. And you just try to get by with like snack bars and things like that. Okay. But that's not, you're not having a really good vacation. And if you're having to do that, maybe you should wait around and save a little bit more money and come another time. I don't think that's great advice though. I would say either then come less days, right? So if that $1,000 will work, if you come less days, yeah, come less days and enjoy it. But don't try to do that where you're going to have a bad experience because you didn't plan enough. And I just think that's a problem. And I just hear too many people that come back and they say, oh, that Disney, that place, I go there, I couldn't go on any rides. Okay, did you plan? No. Did you read up ahead of time? Did you talk to anybody? No, I didn't, because I am stubborn and I want to do things my way. Mm. It doesn't work. And this is not just in Walt Disney World. This is in Disneyland. This is in Shanghai. This is in France. This is in any of the Disney parks. You have to plan. You can't not plan. And if you think that you're that great of, you know, that experience and that great that you don't need to, you know, I call your bluff right there. I'll be nice. I'll say I call your bluff, because there's no way that's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian, anything else?
I think we covered it. Yeah, I like this. You know, and again, you know, we're not trying to publicize ourselves. We will always help people. I love helping people. I've actually helped a ton of people recently with stuff, and I just enjoy helping to explain how things work. Evan is awesome about explaining it too, and we love to do that. So we'll do that anytime you want. I've actually sat in the hotel lounge the other day, when I was there, and I saw a couple having all this problem, and I sat there and I explained everything to them, and they were like so happy. And the next day, when I was down there, they bought me a donut, and it was just because I helped them out. And all I did was I just helped them organize what they were doing and made a couple suggestions, and that's all they needed. And sometimes that's all people need, but they're just getting, you know, they're reading blogs, they're listening to things, and they get really bad advice. Yeah. And it happens all over. And this is not like just with Disney folks. Like if you go to, you know, I'm sorry to take so much extra time, but I'm going on a trip. We're planning a trip to the Caribbean, to an island in the Caribbean this fall. And I've been there before to this island, but I haven't been in a little while. So I'm looking at excursions, trying to plan, looking at stuff to make sure that when we go that we use our time to be able to see all the things that we want to see as a family. You got to plan.
Yeah.
You can't not plan. You can't just show up and expect everything to happen. I don't even care. We're staying at one of the most expensive resorts on the island. Doesn't matter. We're still got to have things to do. We got to plan things. And things are just don't fall in your lap. And that's the thing. You got to do that. And so Disney is no different than any place else. You got to do it. And you're also spending so much money per person. It's crazy what you're paying per person now compared to what you used to pay. I used to think that maybe the prices were pretty reasonable and they expected you to eat more and spend more money on food and drink, which you did. Probably in most cases you did. But now it's so expensive to do that. I don't even know if you're going to – I think that the restaurants are going to suffer a little bit over the next 2 or 3 years because I just can't see people continuing to pay the high amount for tickets and the experiences and also be able to pay that high amount for dinner. I don't know, but I think that's going to be something we're going to – let's look – you know, we'll talk about that a year from now and see if we see a change there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm like you, Brian. You know, Spoonies, of course, you can always come to us for help. I love seeing, you know, couples or families in a Disney park with the park map wide open and they're all staring at it and they're pointing in different directions. Like they just need some intervention, you know, and I love just helping them out when I can, if they're receptive to help. Right. I don't just rip the map out of their hands and throw it on the ground, but you know, it's just nice to be able to help people. And we want to open up this community for questions on Genie Plus, for any questions about how you want to approach or tackle Walt Disney World. I understand we are getting new listeners and that's fantastic. And we know you may be not just new to our podcast, but new to Walt Disney World and you need guidance. And Brian has more knowledge on Disneyland, but we can give you that guidance too. I have Disney Cruise Line knowledge. You know, we have it all between us and we have good resources to tap into to help if we don't know, because we don't know everything. But anyways, good episode, Brian. Thank you so much. And Spoonies, you know where to find us. We have this Facebook group, A Spoonful of Podcast Spoonie Nation, that Brian just talked about. This is where you can go. We're the most readily accessible on Facebook. We are admins of this Facebook group and we monitor it. We moderate it, and also another one as well. So we're on Facebook often. So feel free to plop in and ask your questions there. You can also find us though on Instagram and Twitter. You can email us info@aspoonfulofpodcast.com. Also, please don't forget to rate and review our show wherever you may listen, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever that may be. So, broadcasting from the backside of water, until next time, we'll see you then.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to A Spoonful of Podcast. You can find show notes, ways to follow us on social media, and all episodes on aspoonfulofpodcast.com. Now that you've experienced the magic, it's time for the most dangerous part of our podcast, the return to civilization.
I want to give a big thank you shout out to my good friends Brian and Evan, and everybody at the Spoonful of Podcast.
We love you, Spoonful of Podcast. Yes, we do. Spoonful of Podcast. We love you. Spoonful of Podcast. It's true. Spoonful of Podcast. We love you.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
We love you, Bob. Thank you so much.
I love you, kids.